Thank you, Justin. I believe it's God's good providence that we have landed on John chapter 10 this morning, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," on this very day that in a few moments we will ordain and install a new elder here at Proclamation. Justin Kleiner, who just read that passage for us. Elders are called to shepherd the flock, and we elders serve as under-shepherds. Every week on the inside cover of your worship guide, you will see that notice that Jesus Christ himself is the head and the chief shepherd of our church. We elders are called to care for the flock as Jesus, the good shepherd, would, in his name and for his glory. And in John chapter 10, we see the glory of Jesus as our good shepherd. And to help us see that glory this morning, I simply want to just ask two questions. What does Jesus, the good shepherd, do? And how do his sheep or his people respond? So the first question, what does Jesus, our good shepherd, do? First, we see that Jesus, the good shepherd, calls his own sheep by name. The chapter begins with this image of a sheepfold, and the gatekeeper, we're told, will not open to the thief, but only to the shepherd of the sheep. And then verse 3 says this, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." Now, the sheepfold that's mentioned here in the beginning of the chapter is referring to the kind that they would have in the villages. And this would be a sheepfold that was shared by many different shepherds, many different flocks. It would have an actual gate or a door, and then it would be surrounded by a fence or a wall. And so in the daytime, the shepherds would bring their flocks in there and keep them in there overnight where they were safe. And in the morning, each individual shepherd would come in and would call out only his own sheep from among the multiple flocks that were there. And the sheep would hear the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow him out and only him out. He would lead only his own sheep out to pasture. Some of you might remember when we were meeting at Florin. It's a little bit like that. Remember, we're at Florin. We had two churches, two flocks meeting in one space, one building. Two shepherds were there, Pastor Tom Weber for Florin, myself for Proclamation. But we knew our flock, right? We knew those who were ours. We could call them by name. The challenge was maybe when a guest would come. You would greet somebody you hadn't seen before. "Hey, welcome. Glad to have you here. Are you here for a Proclamation or for Florin?" Well, they were here for Proclamation, of course, right? And we'd welcome them to our church. But that's just a small way we might think about it today. But that's the picture that we're given at the beginning of John chapter 10. This multiple flocks, multiple shepherds in one space, but the shepherd would come in, call out his own by name, and they would follow him. So when Jesus says in verse 3, that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, it means that he knows them. He knows them individually. He knows them intimately. They're not anonymous. They're not lost in the sea of the flock before them. They're surrounded by others who might not be of his fold, but Jesus knows his own by name. He's able to pick them out. He cares for them, and he calls them by name. I think it's hard to overemphasize what a privilege it is to be known personally and intimately and lovingly by the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He knew our name even before our parents did. Back in 2009, I had the privilege to go to the college basketball Final Four in Michigan. It was a privilege in many ways. As a sports fan, that's a great event to be able to go and just enjoy being a part of, having been born in Ford Field and watched those games. That was just a joy to be able to enjoy. And that year, 2009, it was, I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm, but part of the place, it's hard to imagine today, but there was a time when we did that. 70,000 people gathered together, all cheering, almost everybody cheering for the same team. But part of the fun of being there at an event like that was my brother and I sitting next to each other was scanning the crowd of people and seeing all the famous people that were there at an event like this. So, you know, we pick out our binoculars and we're looking around and we say, "Oh my goodness, there's Magic Johnson." Or we look over here and, "Oh my goodness, it's Larry Bird and it's Michael Jordan. Three of the greatest basketball players of all time. I saw them with my own eyes. I was in the same room as them." So I felt pretty excited just to be there. But we continue to look around and we notice maybe you're not a sports fan. Well, Tim Robbins, the actor Tim Robbins, was sitting basically right in front of me, about 6 feet away. We were socially distanced before it was a thing. He's right there. And later he stood up, and I didn't realize how tall he was. But just, you know, and then next to him, too, about 6 feet the other way, Plaxico Burress. A few months before that, this was back in 2009, but a few months before that, he had caught the winning pass in the Super Bowl. And here he is. I was able to get my brother's picture with him. And that was one of the few times Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl. We'll have to see what happens tonight. So that, why am I telling you about this? It's not so you can know all the famous people that I saw that day. I tell you this because of this. I guarantee you, there's not a single person in that crowd of 70,000 people who's scanning the crowd. They're getting out their binoculars, and they're looking around. And they see, and they nudge the person next to them, and they go, "Look over there! It's Troy D. Bruin! I can't believe it! Troy D. Bruin's here!" Not a single person was doing that. But beloved, Jesus would. Jesus would do that for me, and he would do it for you. Because he knows us by name. And because we're his. He wouldn't do it because of anything great I've done. He wouldn't do it because I'm famous or well known by other people, but because I'm precious in his sight. I am his. And beloved, the same is true for you, for every one of his sheep. He calls you by name. Jesus, the good shepherd, knows you. He knows your name. He calls you by name, and he wants you with him. And he won't forget your name. And he won't mix it up with someone else. He'll never call you by someone else's name. That's a common mistake that parents make if they have multiple children. Jesus never does that. He knows you by name, and he cares for you. You know, I believe that we are all created with a longing to be known, to be truly known, and then at the same time accepted and loved for who we are. But that longing that we have has with it a fear that's attached to it. If people really knew me, they would not love me. They would not accept me. Beloved, Jesus truly knows you. He knows you intimately, and he knows you personally. He knows everything about you. Jesus knows about all of his children, and yet he loves. And the more that we grasp his love, the glory of our good shepherd, the more we will love him, and the more that we will love one another in the same way that he has loved us. His love compels. Do you want to grow? That is, take one honest look at you, but then make sure you take 10 glory and his love to say, cheer up. You're far worse than you imagine, more loved than you ever gather. Everything about you, be acquainted with it, own body on the tree. In action, every evil thought, every foolish motive, every idol, and yet loved his sheep, called you home. Us, he knows us, knows his own, and call your name. Not know your struggles, but he does your name. He knows your every to your life and to your worries, your anxieties on him. Well, second, what does the look at verse 3 again? Them out, and then beef about you till you would wander off and don't to follow the sheep. Best will do if one sheep, even if it's not a good, know each other to going as a sheep, but jumps off a cliff. I leap to their deaths. That was the headline. It happened in this small village in Turkey. One sheep went off the cliff, and it started this chain reaction. 1,500 sheep followed that first one, jumping off the cliff. 1,500 jumped off the cliff. Why did only 450 die? Because they started to pile up on top of each other. And after a while, they created this cushion, right, that saved the rest of them that followed that first one. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? And yet perhaps it's a graphic picture of how prone we are to wander and follow others to our death, to our destruction. We follow people. We follow worldviews. We follow values that are not worth following. They may promise pleasure or satisfaction or fulfillment, but they end in death, not in life. It's like the picture in Proverbs 5 of the adulterous woman, Proverbs 5, 1 through 5. The word of God says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death." Her steps lead straight to the grave. That's what we will do. We will follow others to our death, to our destruction, if the Good Shepherd does not intervene and lead us. And thankfully, he does, and he leads us to life. That precious Psalm 23 talks about the green pastures that he leads us to. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the one who leads us out of death into life. He leads us out of anything, out of all the things that would keep us from his pasture, from life. Remember the context of this teaching in John chapter 9, or John chapter 10. We've just gone through John chapter 9. It's referenced here in verse 21, talking about Jesus cannot possibly be oppressed by a demon because can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Remember John 9, the man born blind was healed by Jesus. He's brought out of darkness. This man born blind was brought out of the fear of man into the worship of Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. That man was a lost, wandering sheep, and Jesus sought him out. He pursued him, he found him, and he led him. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, leads us. He leads us out of our suicidal allegiances to things other than him. He leads us out of things that we give ourselves to that are not worthy of our allegiance, things that end in death, whatever they may be, whether it's the love of the world or the things in the world. The lust of the eyes, the desires of the flesh, the pride of life, the worship of knowledge or pleasure, the works of the flesh, the lies of the devil. Whatever it may be, we wander and Jesus pursues. We stumble and he picks us up. We go astray and he brings us back. And he stops at nothing. He will not give up. He will not grow tired. If you are one of his sheep, he will always know your name and he will always lead you. Are you following the Good Shepherd, leading to life? Or are you wandering after other ways that will end in death? Jesus is the only one that leads to life, that leads to green pastures. May we all follow him once again today. Well, now third, what's the third thing we see in this passage that Jesus the Good Shepherd does? Jesus the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This amazing, comforting, life-giving truth is mentioned four times in this passage. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And then verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And he does so in contrast to the hired hand. We're told about the hired hand in this passage. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. And the reason that Jesus mentions these hired hands is to help us see and help us understand he is nothing like them. He is not a hired hand. He instead is the good shepherd, the owner of the sheep. Jesus owns the sheep. They are his. And he's proven the depth of his love and care for them by laying down his own life. Jesus taught his disciples, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He spoke those words to his disciples, but then he demonstrated that love far beyond measure when he showed us God's love by dying for us while we were still his enemies, while we were sinners. Beloved, if Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did not lay down his life for you, if he did not lead you, if he did not call you by name, where would you be today? Where would you be? Not only would you be headed to hell or in hell at this very moment, but you would not know the love of Jesus. You wouldn't know his tender care. You wouldn't be in awe of his glory. But Jesus did call, and he does lead, and he did lay down his life for you. And if he did that, or we should say, since he did that, how will he not also freely and graciously give you all things? How will he not also care for you in all times and all circumstances? How will he not also now work all things together for your good and for his glory? The answer is, he will. Indeed, he will, not primarily because of who you are, but because of who he is. Because he is the good shepherd. He's the tender caregiver, and he will never be proven otherwise. You will never be put to shame when you trust in him, and he will never be found to be a liar or a hired hand. Beloved, Jesus is not a paid worker who has no relationship to the sheep, simply doing a job to earn a living, caring for the sheep as a means to an end, a temporary job until he can do what he really wants to do, climb his way up the ladder. That is not your Savior, your shepherd. Caring for the sheep is his calling. It's what he loves to do because he's the owner, because the sheep are his. You are his. He has made you his own. And so he delights in you. And he is unlike any other owner you've ever known because this one lays down his life for the sheep. And in laying down his life for you, he has provided the only way to God, the only way to life, to eternal life. Verse 6 tells us that the people did not understand this figure of speech that Jesus used at the beginning. So he gave them another, starting in verse 7. He calls himself the door of the sheep. And then he says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now in this section, Jesus uses a different image for the sheepfold. The first one was the one you'd find in the villages, but now he takes us to the countryside, out in the open. And this was the kind of sheepfold you would find there. It would just be a circle of rocks, and then there would be an opening. There wouldn't be an actual gate or door there, but the shepherd himself would be the gate or the door. He would lead his flock inside this circle of rocks, and then he would put himself there in the opening so that he was literally himself the door. This is what Jesus is talking about. No sheep can go in or out to pasture but through the shepherd. That's what he's saying in verse 9. There is no other way to God except through him. He is the door. The prophet Isaiah tells us about the suffering servant who's also the one true shepherd who would be the sacrificial lamb. This is the shepherd, the servant, the savior that we need because as Isaiah says in chapter 59, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our sins have separated us from God. They cannot be removed by the good things that we do. We cannot atone for our sin. We cannot save ourselves. There is only one Savior, only one way to God. Isaiah 45 tells us, there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. And then Isaiah 53 tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have wandered off. We have gone our own way. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In laying down his life for the sheep, Jesus, the good shepherd, comes to give you life, abundant life, eternal life. So that, beloved, when you repent of your sins and you trust in Jesus, when you hear the voice of the good shepherd and you follow him, he brings you out of death into life. He is God with you and now God for you. And the blessing of his personal care and protection for you will never, never, never end. Beloved, it's not for this life only that we have hope in him. For all those who follow him, he gives eternal life. Do you believe today that Jesus has laid down his life for you? Have you trusted in him? Are you resting in his steadfast love? We have seen what the good shepherd does. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads us, and he lays down his life for us. Now the second question, how do his sheep or his people respond? And very simply in the text, we see that they listen to his voice and they follow him. They listen to his voice and they follow him. Verse 3, they hear his voice. Verse 4, they know his voice. Verse 16, they listen to his voice. And verse 27, which was our passage of assurance the gospel of Christ this morning, verse 27, they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So God opens our eyes. He opens our ears so we believe that Jesus is who he said he was. We see his glory, we bow down and we worship him. We know him as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And here's what I believe is amazing this morning. What is incredible? Something supernatural is taking place right now. Here, I believe, in this very room, perhaps even over the live stream, even all over the world, the good shepherd is calling out the name of his sheep. The good shepherd is calling your name, speaking through his word. See, I don't know the specific needs of your lives, the specific areas of application that may come from this truth of God's word, but the good shepherd knows. He cares. He speaks through his word and his spirit to lead you and to guide you. There are pains in your lives that no one in this room could ever take away, that no one in this room could ever heal. There are needs in your lives that we could never be able to fill, but Jesus, the one true shepherd, the good shepherd, is able. Our great caregiver has proven this, God himself laying down his life for you. Well, perhaps today the good shepherd is calling your name for the first time. Are you hearing his voice, calling your name for the first time? Know this. This call of God is not restricted by anything that we can imagine. All the barriers that we would put up, they are no barrier to him. This call of God is not restricted on the basis of race or education or social position or wealth or achievements or good deeds or anything else. It's not restricted on the basis of age. You can't be too old or too young. You can't have too much of your life out ahead of you, and you can't be too set in your ways. It's not restricted on the basis of religion. No matter what you currently believe, how good you think you are or how bad you think you are, Jesus is the door, the only door, and there is no other way to eternal life and reconciliation with God. And so I would urge you to listen, my friends, this morning. There is no reason why you, right now, this very moment, should not be among the number of those that God is calling to Jesus. You don't have to do anything to hear this call. You do not have to be smart or beautiful or good. You don't have to dress up or clean up, but you do have to respond. To hear his call is to be convinced that what the Bible says about your need for a Savior is indeed true. That what the Bible says about the truth and the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ is indeed true. And to realize that the answer to your need for a Savior is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be compelled to respond by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for you. So today, do not trust in yourself. Do not trust in religion. Do not trust in your good works or even your growth. And trust in Jesus and in him alone. Do you sense his call this morning? Maybe you've been thinking, yes, what God is saying to me today through his word is true. This is what has been missing in my life. This is what I need. This is what I have been made for. Maybe even if you've been one of his sheep for as long as you can remember, you're getting distracted and you're wandering off and you're beginning to listen to other voices. And this morning, you're hearing him call you back home to follow him as he leads you. I would encourage you, do not be slow this morning to answer Christ's call, to listen to his voice, respond and follow Jesus. For that is what those who hear his voice do. And when they do, he leads them into life and they lack no good thing. Beloved, Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for you. Are you listening to his voice? Are you following him? He is the one that you can trust. He always speaks the truth. He will not lead you astray. He will always lead you to life. May all who have ears to hear, hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him today. Amen.